Happy Christmas from Radio Arianna. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas. You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Normally we'd have Matthew Heimbach here, but he's away doing important interviews with the Independent Television Network, British News Network, that we're going to be talking about. The subject matter that he's going to be talking about, we're also going to be discussing in this episode today. But I am joined with his comrade, Matt Parrott. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing very well. Kind of starting to pick up the holiday cheer a little bit. It seems like every year it gets a little quicker.
Did you like our little Christmas jingle there that we started with?
Yes, that was a nice touch.
Don't forget, kebabs are not just for Christmas. We get them all year round as well, you see. So just a little reminder there of what's going on. And what we're going to be discussing today is the shocking news, or two lots of shocking news. We've heard that National Action are supposedly going to be proscribed as a terrorist group. Now, what they're going to be doing is they're going to be debating this in the Houses of Parliament on Wednesday and on Thursday. And then if they get their way, they will be prescribed as a terrorist group. And this will be decided on Friday. And we've had Amber Rudd, the Home Secretary, who's described her reasons for wanting them to be prescribed as a terrorist group. And her reasons are they are homophobic, racist and anti-Semitic. Nothing whatsoever to do with committing terrorist acts, nothing to do with any violence, but simply she doesn't like them, basically, a personal attack. And today as well, we've been told that we've now got a new definition of anti-Semitism. And this new definition of anti-Semitism is just beyond belief. It's basically anything they want it to be. The wording is a certain perception of Jews that may be expressed as hatred of Jews. So you could be expressing a love of Jews, and yet they could say, well, you still have that certain perception that you don't like Jews, regardless of you saying that you like Jews. So you're still an anti-Semite. So it basically means that the Jews can accuse anyone of anti-Semitism that they wish, regardless of anything that that person may have said, and they will be criminalized as for being illegal, for being an illegal anti-Semite. And I think what this really shows is, you know, what happens when you have women in charge, because both these instances have been brought about by women. Both of them have been brought about by Theresa May, who is now the Prime Minister, and Amber Rudd, who is now her new Home Secretary. It's just a persecution of nationalists, really, with no evidence to back it up whatsoever in the National Action case. They've never advocated for violence. They've said that there's something to do with a right-wing terrorist network across the world, and I've never heard of a right-wing terrorist network across the world. They've brought up Anders Breivik. As far as I'm aware, Anders Breivik is in prison, and Anders Breivik expressed a desire for the State of Israel. He was an avowed Zionist, from what I'm aware of. I don't think National Action have ever had anything to do with him. They brought up Thomas Mayer, the guy that killed Joe Cox. He was nothing to do with any nationalist organisations in Britain whatsoever. So I don't know what he has to do with it. And on top of this, where they're calling them this group that may have links with other terrorist groups, well, we've got a group called Muslims in Britain who have beheaded people, more than one person. They beheaded a granny last year. They beheaded drummer Lee Rigby. So they're actually beheading people in broad daylight. They've raped tens of thousands of young white girls. They all call for Sharia law in Britain. And yet this group, this group which really does have violent terrorists in it, this group called Muslims, That's perfectly fine to have in Great Britain. We must all bow down to them and express some kind of fondness and love for them, the same as with the Jews, I guess. You know, if they're going to make it illegal to not like Jews, then you've just got to express your love for them all the time. And even then, they may still decide that you don't really like them. And to me, Matt, this just is, I mean, if you thought somebody didn't like you, would you A, move, B, be nice to them, or C, make it illegal to dislike you and lock them up in prison? You know, that's what it boils down to, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's absolute just over-the-top, hysterical, naked, Orwellian nonsense. With the definition they used, the label they're going with, that, you know, somebody, what was the word, the curious word they used? A perspective towards Jews?
A certain perception.
A perception towards Jews.
Certain perception.
That may or may not be expressed as hatred. And you know, you saw this with the Donald Trump campaign. Like, Donald Trump has Jews in his family. You know, just ask Donald Trump. He loves the Jews. But they still insisted that he's anti-Semitic because, and this is the important thing, because no matter how much you protest that you love the Jews, if you're threatening their agenda or frightening them with your potential to threaten their agenda, you're an anti-Semite. You know, an anti-Semite, the best definition is anybody the Jews hate. And I think Truth in Advertising would be to define anti-Semitism as anybody, an anti-Semite as anybody who the Jews hate.
Well, that's what this provides for, really. I mean, it's yeah, a change in the law so that they can just use it to go after anybody they feel like without any evidence. Because it doesn't have to be, you know, expressed as hatred towards Jews. It could be expressed as, you know, fondness for Jews, like Donald Trump has expressed. You know, he's expressed a fondness for Jews, obviously, because his son-in-law is a Jew, and yet they'll still call him an anti-Semite. And this change to the law means that they're actually able to get away with this. I can only assume that when they were debating this, that people just didn't hear an opposing view at all and didn't really think about it. Because that's what it's saying. It's saying you're making it illegal to say that you don't like somebody, making it illegal to not like someone. And on top of that, I mean, you would think that being a Christian country, if we were going to have any laws against people being against others, it would be antichrists that were illegal, not anti-Semites. Why isn't it antichrists that are illegal? Why isn't it people that express a hatred for our religion that are made illegal?
You know, I think your government actually promotes and sponsors anti-Christian propaganda, mockery, and hatred.
Well, it promotes the Holocaust as the new religion. I mean, that's the religion that you're not allowed to mock. That's the one that you've got to express belief in. You've got to express belief in the 6 million figure. If you doubt it, you're a heretic. You can be taken on these heresy trials to see whether you've committed a heresy by not towing the party line about what happened in World War II. This is just getting absolutely ludicrous to say that you cannot. You know, you cannot like somebody and then to make you into a criminal if you don't like somebody. And how, what other way can this new change in the law actually be looked at? Why wasn't this expressed during the debates that what they're actually doing is making it illegal
like
to not like
defending
someone?
Anti-Semitism. You have these kind of moral panics like this. It's funny. They're trying to accuse our side of like a moral panic over Pizzagate. Like, you know, we have credible evidence worthy of further investigation of potential pedophile sex rings. Just in Norway, a few weeks ago, bam, massive. It's, you know, one of the largest in Norway. I'm like, my gosh, Norway's a small country. How many of these pedophile rings are there if that's not even the only one in Norway? and you know, they... Saturday Night Live last night was just mocking us, mocking the outright for like their moral panic. And personally, I think, you know, credible evidence of a real thing with pedophile rape gangs, which is terrifying and over the top as that sounds, we have firm evidence for. It is something to actually morally panic about. Whereas this whole thing, Jews are the most safe and comfortable in Britain that they've today than they've ever been, you know, for all of their history. And to the extent that they're less safe today, it's their own fault for importing all the Muslims who, you know, aren't quite as gullible as the natives when it comes to the Jewish question. So yeah, it's just absolutely, it's amusing to watch, but I'm very heartened by it because I see that they can't win because they no longer control the information streams. And both over there and over here, so many people are waking up.
I guess what they're doing is just doubling down on everything that they've done before, you know, just trying to give it more weight to when they hurl these words around, like when they call someone an anti-Semite. Well, they're doing something illegal, so you should ignore all the evidence that they're showing, because the evidence is only being shown because they don't like Jews. You know, it's like at the moment with the Donald Trump situation, where you've got the media or the CIA saying, well, these hackers have to be investigated, it's got to be Russia that's done the hacking. Well, no, that's not the important thing. Well, the important thing is the information that was released in those emails of all the corruption and the pedophilia. That's the important thing, not who released it. But they're saying that you've got to ignore all the evidence that was in those emails because they were only released in order to help Donald Trump. Which is a similar thing to this, isn't it? It's saying you've got to ignore the evidence that people show because the only reason they are showing it is because they hate Jews.
Right. Yeah, that whole thing where it's about who leaked the emails rather than about the content of the emails. I mean, you know, others have pointed it out. It's like, you know, hey, I found out, I was going through your phone, I found out you cheated on me. Oh, well, the real question here is why you were on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, no, the fact that you're cheating on me is still the, you know, important issue here. But, I'm wondering what we can do. I know it's a sensitive situation. I don't want to jump the gun on anything, but from your perspective and your position, with National Action, how are they taking this? How are they reacting to this? And what can kind of the international community of nationalist allies do to help them right now?
Well, there's a statement that they have on their website which tells you what they're about, which says that they don't endorse any violence. The only time that they've talked about violence is state-sanctioned violence. The only way they could achieve their aims is if they were the state themselves, they were the government, and they had the army and the police force working for them, keeping to the law, enforcing the law against traitors, obviously, enforcing the law against replacing the electorate with a new electorate. And they say that they are radical in the fact that they don't advocate violence. They advocate doing this legally. They haven't got any links with terrorist groups. And what a lot of this is about is the media frenzy that's being whipped up about them having these camps that they go to, bonding camps, you know, people there are male bonding, something which is missing from society, where we don't have pubs where we can meet together with different groups of men anymore. That space has been invaded or taken away. So they've been going on these camps. They've been keeping fit. They've been learning about British culture, British history. And when they're on these camps, they obviously, you know, they do a bit of play fighting, a bit of self-defense work. But that's only about defending yourself. And the way this has been portrayed in the left-wing press is that they're forming an army. They're preparing an army. Of course, because they talk about the race war, because we are in the middle of a race war. You know, we are being attacked just because we're white. And every time that gets reported, it always says it's an isolated incident, a random killing, a random head chopping. It just so happened that the perpetrator of the head chopping was black or Muslim and the victim was white. So we are in the middle of a race war. They talk about us being in the middle of a race war, and they talk about learning how to defend yourself in case you are attacked. And if you're going to take a stand, and you're going to put yourself out there in the public eye, and you're going to go to demonstrations, and you're going to speak the truth to power, which is a noble thing to do, then they are going to have to expect to be attacked. So they need to prepare themselves for being attacked, prepare themselves to defend themselves. But they're not preparing to go out and attack people. You know, and the organizations involved in teaching the self-defense are not organizations which teach people to go out and attack people. So it's really just the left-wing media, controlled as it is by the Jews, as we know, that have tried to smear their name, especially by linking them with people like Thomas Mayer, when they've had no contact with Thomas Mayer. After this killing of Joe Cox, I believe somebody tweeted and said something about traitors, and she deserved what she got because she was a traitor. But that's not encouraging people to go out and do that. That's pointing out the fact that she was a traitor. I mean, it was disgusting what she said in Parliament. She lives in the area with Rotherham in it, where 1,400 white girls were raped by Muslims. And she stood there on the floor of the Houses of Parliament talking about how wonderful Muslims were, how much they've enriched our communities, and what a great strength diversity is. Whereas in her community, these horrendous rapes took place. So that was treason against her own people. She was standing with all these other foreigners and totally ignoring the plight of her own people, which is treason. So she was a traitor. So when she was murdered by Thomas Mayer, somebody tweeted words to that effect. But they certainly were not encouraging others to go out and do that. They were certainly not endorsing what was done, because everything they speak about is doing things under the law. I mean, under the law, treason should be a capital offence. You should be executed for treason. But Tony Blair removed or repealed the Act Against Treason a good decade or so back, and he tacked it onto the end of another bill that went through the Houses of Parliament, which repealed the Treason Act, which meant that people that were guilty of treason could be hanged, basically. So all National Action were advocating for, all they have done is to say, well, we want to bring back hanging. And it's not just them that say that. There are other political organizations that advocate for bringing back capital punishment. And if you bring back capital punishment, then you should also bring back capital punishment for crimes like treason. And it should be there for crimes like pedophilia. Now, they've always advocated for this. They haven't said, you know, we need to be going out and attacking politicians. We need to be going out and attacking foreigners. All they've said is that we need to enforce the law, and we need to have just laws that correspond with natural law. And the natural law, as we know, corresponds with the divine law, which all of our law in Britain is based upon, the laws from the Bible. So they're just advocating a return to traditional laws. I mean, some of the things they say is Britain for the British. This is a white man's zone. This is just posters stating things which, you know, they shouldn't be seen as offensive. Britain should be for the British. Africa should be for the Africans. India should be for the Indians. What's offensive about saying Britain should be for the British? The rest must go. You know, they must go. Otherwise, there's going to be no British people left, because we'll be replaced entirely by these foreigners. So they're only talking common sense. They're not saying, you know, we've got to violently evict these foreigners. They're saying we need to have a government in power which is for the British people, stands up for the British people, acts for the British people, and encourages the foreigners to go back to their own homelands. They've all got their own countries that they can live in. They don't have any business being here. The only reason they're here is to take the money that we have here, to take it away from us and give it to them in their countries. None of them are here because they want to help the British people. They're not here out of the goodness or kindness of their hearts, like a lot of us are when we go to Africa, when we dig them wells and show them how to farm. They're not here to help us in the way that we go out and help other people. They are just here to take whatever it is that they can take. And most of them are breaking in as well. They're the equivalent of burglars breaking into your house to take what you've got, because they're coming here illegally on the back of buses. They're not even coming in through any of the legal routes. So all they're advocating for is the law being carried out. And they've said, we're in no position to take power at the moment. They don't have a political organisation. Eventually, they do hope to have a political organisation. But they're not talking about carrying out a coup, carrying out violence. They've got no links on their website to do with Anders Breivik. How they could have links with Anders Breivik anyway when he's inside a prison cell, I don't know. And I don't know of any other instances of right-wing violence that have happened. You've got this Thomas Mayer. And if they could have linked Thomas Mayer to any British national organisation, they would have done. And they didn't. They couldn't. All they could come up with was, oh, we had videos like Schindler's List, so he must have been a neo-Nazi. Oh, we've got a... Yeah, literally. That's what it was, Matt. Schindler's List was there, and Nazis are warning from history. Videos you could find in just about anyone's DVD collection, books that could have been found in anyone's book collection, books that were available in your bookshops in the high street. Not even specialist nationalist ones. So they weren't able to link them with him. And yet the left-wing newspapers, every time you see an article with National Action in it, they mention Thomas Mayer. Or they mention this other nutcase last year called Zach Davies, I think his name was, that attacked an Asian in a supermarket. And they try and claim that he was something to do with National Action because they found a National Action flag at his house. But they also found an ISIS flag at his house. And a couple of weeks before he went and carried out this murder, he was pledging his allegiance to Allah. So, you know, that was a Muslim attack more than a nationalist one. This guy was a complete crazy. And again, they had to apologize to National Action for linking them with them. And the police couldn't link them to him in any way. So they haven't actually got any evidence to go on. All they're going on is saying, oh, well, they're bigots, homophobes, racists and anti-Semites. So they're as good as terrorists. No, that's what they're saying. They're saying if you care about your own race and put your race's needs above the needs of the other races, then you're as bad as somebody who chops people's heads off or breaks into a concert hall and murders 90 teenagers or runs over lots of children and families in a truck. And that's what they're drawing an equivalent with. Well,
they're saying that these people are worse, okay? I think you're being charitable to them, saying that they're equating what National Action in the minds of these people, even though they've committed no crime, even though they're not advocating violence, the people who run our governments actually genuinely find National Action more morally offensive, frightening, and extreme than they find the pedophile rape gangs and the Islamic terror attacks.
Well, they cover them up, don't they? They cover
that
up.
Yeah, they do. That's no big, you know, I mean, that's, hey, shit happens. That's their attitude towards that stuff. Like, hey, you want to make a multicultural omelet, you got to break some kids' eggs and whatever.
Well, that's an isolated incident, isn't it? They say that's an isolated incident. But National Action, apparently they're linked up with a worldwide terrorist network, far-right terrorist network that nobody's ever heard of. But Muslims are Muslims. You know, they do have an organization and they do go out, carry out these crimes.
They project so much, like that guy in Columbus, like he tweeted, like, I'm doing this because I'm an Islamic radical aligned with ISIS. Like he tweeted that and then he went and like stabbed a bunch of people and drove his car to a bunch of people. Right. And the media, their follow up on that in the mainstream media, and I'm not cherry picking here, was like, what were his reasons? You know, he's got this reason he stated, but let's really kind of think about the big picture here. What might his real reason be? Okay, and meanwhile, you know, Matthew Heimbach, they already know what crimes he's going to commit. He's going to commit any day now, and they know exactly why. They can read my mind and predict the future about, you know, they pretty much... Pretty much, I need to be locked up now because they've reached in my mind and they found the terror plots and they're super, super there. And we got to stop him before he hurts other people. Meanwhile, the people actually hurting other people, they're like, well, I don't think he'll do it again. Well, boy, I think this might be just like an alienation frustration thing. Maybe the people in Ohio were really racist to him before he ran them all over. You know, let's look at the big picture, guys.
It's like we're not doing enough for them, isn't it? That's the one they always come up with. We're not doing enough for them. We've been racist to them. We haven't given them enough jobs. We need to have more minority quotas, diversity quotas. We need to give them youth clubs. We need to make exceptions for them at the Dole Center because they can't find jobs. We need to make exceptions for them if they're criminals to get them into the police force. And we're just not doing enough. That's why they attack us. And then when you get a group of white people that speak up for white people and say, no, we've had enough of this. This is wrong. We want to form a positive organization for white people that tells white people that they are good, that they shouldn't be feeling guilt, and that wants to help train them to get them fit, get them off the drink, get them off the pornography, get them living positively and live, being the best person that they can, carrying out all the, all the precepts of National Socialism. You know, well, they're terrible. That, you know, we've got to ban them. We have to ban them and call them terrorists. Like the whole world is upside down. Another point, when we were talking about the, that you were saying about the Jews there, and they've never been better off in Britain than they've ever been before. The government have just released that they're going to be investing millions of pounds in security for the Jews, for synagogues, Jewish schools. Where's the security for the schools with the white girls in them that are being preyed on when they leave school every day, when they leave the school gates by the Muslim rape gangs? It was only revealed a couple of months back after a follow-up investigation in Rotherham that there's twice as many rape gangs operating in Rotherham now, and twice as many girls that are being abused, and nothing's been done about it. And you can count the number of Pakistani men that have been prosecuted on one hand.
Well, at some point, I mean, I have two big questions here. First of all, would you kind of stay tuned and let me know if there's any kind of fundraiser we can do, if there's any kind of, because I want the rest of the world's nationalists, when one group of nationalists is threatened like this, we need to figure out how to come together to help those people when they're under attack. I mean, doing a show to popularize what happened is important, but I'd like to know what more we can do. So if you need to find that out or something, I'd appreciate it.
Well, I guess just publicize it. I know Matt Heinbach's doing an interview today on this subject and on Donald Trump, so he's obviously going to highlight it. But as many nationalist organizations as possible should be highlighting the fact that National Action are non-violent. They're not terrorists. They're not linked with any terrorist organization. They're just a nationalist group that are very forthright in their views. I mean, it's just words that they're saying. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. As far as fundraising is concerned,
that kind of leads to my second concern. What's the mood among the average Englishman right now?
Well, there's no support for this. I mean, this Jewish charity that's behind this, that's been agitating for this, they put a video out the other day showing left-wing agitators causing trouble and then making out that that was National Action, claiming that they were preparing for a war and raising an army, and then asking people to sign a petition at the end of it. And when I looked at it, there were about 150 signatures on this petition. That's the support that they have. About 150 people have signed a petition. And yet, because of the clout that the Jews have in government, with the conservative Friends to Israel, who Theresa May was speaking to the other day when she said that the government were going to accept this new definition of anti-Semitism, because of the weight that they have, they are getting this pushed through. And I don't know who is going to be speaking up for National Action in the debate that they have in the Houses of Parliament. I mean, the last time I saw a debate that they had, it was about debating whether to ban Donald Trump from coming into Britain because of his views. And your views are private, aren't they? You know, if you cannot express your own views, your own opinion, I mean, that's worse than Stalinist state, worse than under Bolshevism. And what I was going to mention about raising funds, I mean, the problem is if they decide on Friday that they're going to decide that National Action are a terrorist organization, you can get up to 10 years for collecting funds for them. You know, you can get up to 10 years for having a National Action picture or glorifying them, saying you support them. It's absolutely
like
incredible.
And maybe we can bring them all over to America. We'll bring you over to America too. And after, we'll make a deal. You guys all come over here. After we win, we'll invade Britain and install you guys as the puppet regime.
Well, they could go over to America and claim asylum. But if anyone does that, they've got to do it the correct way. They've got to go straight to a lawyer and then claim asylum, not go and hand themselves into the police or do it in the way that you would do it over here in Britain, the way that the
refugees
do it. Yeah, yeah. Because we've had people that tried that and they ended up being held for a year or so in America, then being transferred straight back to Britain and 4 years in Britain. Again, for telling jokes about the Holohoax. You know, this was just a comic that was published. And some idiot posted it through the door of a synagogue to a rabbi who then kicked up a fuss about it. That's what it seems to be. It seems to be people that get wound up about this that are high up in the government or to do with the government, and then they stamp their feet and make a big fuss, and the government changes things. It's never because there's actually a groundswell of public opinion for things like this. You know, there's no support for this. If you look at the comment sections of the mainstream newspapers, they all read like the Daily Stormer. You know, they're full of people that know that the Holocaust is a huge hoax and there are no gas chambers and that the Jews are behind it all. Full of it. You know, that's the public opinion.
It's very promising because they can only keep being out in front of where the people are at, and the people are waking up. They're increasingly isolated, even if they're too isolated to know they're isolated. So I think in the long run, we, including National Action, are definitely going to win this. But boy, it's winter time.
Well, I think we'll have a few marches yet. But yes, we are destined to win. We know that we will win, and we are winning in other areas all the time. It's just that Britain is having a bit of a bad time of it at the moment. Anyway, Matt, that brings us to the end of the podcast. So I'll say thank you very much for joining me here today. Hopefully tomorrow you will have Matthew Heimbach back again, and you'll also have Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. So thank you very much for listening, and hail victory.
Hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.